Hello. Yo, and I have a echo. And that echo was... No, it wasn't. Yeah, but I hear an echo. And it's not coming through my echo. It is coming from somewhere else. That way, it's going to be very difficult to speak.
Hi, is this Daniel on the line?
Yeah, this is Daniel. I have about a echo, which is very difficult to talk.
We're hearing you. It's just a little bit fuzzy, so... our sound tech's just going to walk the room and make sure that we can hear you properly. Where are you calling
in from? Okay, not my problem.
Where are you calling?
In about 1.2 seconds. And it's very loud. It's not...
Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from the Netherlands. And the echo doesn't sound like it's from the echo.
Okay, well,
I'll
please stand by.
Audio check, 2, 2.
One, two, three, four. That's about how long it takes to come back. I think it's about a second or so. So, just to be sure, I'll drop off the bridge and try to call in again. Testing. Yeah, the echo is still there. About.
Hello, everyone. We're going to try to get started, so please take your seats. Hi, folks. We're going to try to get started over there in the corner. Mr. Boyle, you're out of order. Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Alyssa, for those who are joining us remotely and for the transcript. Good morning. Thanks to everyone for showing up. This is the fifth face-to-face meeting of the ICG, and we're looking at our agenda up on the screen right now. So we have 2 days of meetings. I know that some people are going to be in and out tomorrow, so we've tried to really bulk up day one, although we will certainly have lots to talk about on day two as well. Starting with the pre-assessment of the CWG names proposal. Patrick will be leading that session. We've had a little bit of discussion of the names proposal, but now it's off to the SOs and ACs. We wanted to see if there's anything else that we can get done in terms of our own assessment while we await its actual transmission to us. Then we'll talk a little bit kind of logistical planning for the combined proposal assessment. who's going to do that and what the timetable looks like. We'll have a break. We're going to talk about multi-step implementation. We've had a little bit of mailing list traffic on that just this morning, so some folks might not be up to date. You might want to look at our mailing list to catch up on that. Then we'll have lunch, which will be served somewhere, if you know, in here. Okay, lunch will be in here. Then we have we'll talk about the public comment period. We have a bunch of planning things we need to do for that, and there's mail out to the list in the last couple of days from me with some updated text for the website we might use for that and also for the executive summary for the combined proposal. Then we'll have a break. We're going to get an update on the CCWG accountability work, which Mohammed will lead. And then we'll talk a little bit about our response to NTIA and the time frames. We've gotten some more information back from the numbers community and from the ICANN board. And then we'll wrap up. So that's the plan for today. Any comments on the agenda or general overall comments before we dive in? And I should say we'll follow the same kind of procedure that we usually do in terms of the queue. So if you want to be in the queue, please put your name card up like this. If you're remote and you want to be in the queue, please raise your hand in Adobe Connect. And that's how we'll proceed. So comments on the agenda or anything else? No, everyone is asleep. Okay. Good. Then we can begin with the CWG names proposal pre-assessment. And Patrick.
Thank you. So, as we all know, the CWG names have produced a version of their proposal which they believe is stable enough, so it has been passed to the chartering organizations of CWG names for approvals and comment. The chartering organizations have until June 25, which is next Thursday, to respond to the to this question. We have talked about here in the ICG that we should start with a pre-assessment of the CWG names proposal on this early version to try to save some time. This is something that we should discuss. It is a proposal from us chairs that we should continue with the pre-assessment on this pre-released version. Our proposal is further that the assessment should be done in a similar way as was done with the numbers and the protocol parameters proposals. That we try to find individuals which have the interest of looking at specific issues in these documents. When we later in the next step do have all three proposals, and that includes the final version of the CWG names, which is not what we have on the table now, but when we have all three proposals from the operational communities, at that point in time, we need to do an assessment of the three proposals together. And we will talk a little bit about that assessment process in the next slot in the agenda. So to start with, I would like to talk about just CWG names proposal as it is on the table. On the phone call that we had the other week, myself and Russ from ESSAC explained and offered the ICG to show you where we are in ESSAC on our evaluation of the CWG names to trigger some discussion and also show you what ESSAC, as one of the charting organizations, have been looking at and how we are doing our work. We are not done with our evaluation. So what I will share with you is what process and methods we are using for our evaluation, but I cannot share you the evaluation results themselves, because that is something that we ultimately will discuss this coming Tuesday, which will lead to our response that then should be ready on Thursday. So I hope this is helpful. The slides themselves includes quite a lot of text, but the idea is not that I should read it or that you should read it on the screen, but that it can be, hopefully, either material that is useful for you or material that you can just ignore. Up to you. First, next slide, please. So the background from an ESSAC perspective is that we in ESSAC, after analyzing the public comment, we produced document number 69, in which we consider issues that may affect, from ESSAC perspective, may affect the security and stability of the DNS, both during and after the transition of the stewardship role. So we have a number of recommendations in this document of ours, and those are that is what we are basing our assessment on. Next, please. So recommendation one, say that the operation communities should determine a couple of things. For example, what control functions are going away? Is there any additional external controls that are necessary? By whom they should be administrated, etc. Next. We have identified that this is discussed in the discussion about the PTI. In section 3, and it talks about certain obligations for the IANA function operators, and also how the auditing of that process is to be done through the CSC and a couple of other functions as well. Next slide, please. Recommendation 2A. We are recommending that the communities determines whether or not existing mechanisms outside the IANA functions contract are robust enough to hold the operator accountable. Next slide. And in 2B, if it is the case that the policy development processes are clear enough, or whether that has to be evolved, that has to evolve in one way or another. Next slide, please. We see that this is handled in section 3AI. The numbering of the document is kind of interesting, but this is but there is some text here that talks about the community expectations for the stewardship and how the performance is measured, so we find that this is covered, and there are also a number of elements listed explicitly that are suggested to be included in that kind of evaluation. Next slide, please. In recommendation 3, we point out the situation with sanctions that exists regardless of what within what jurisdiction operation of these kind of services are done. In the US, we talk about the OFAC-2 licenses. In other countries, they have other names. And we find it being very important that this is investigated. Next slide, please. We see that this is discussed in section 3A4C. Next. Recommendation 4, we talk about the importance of transparency and freedom from improper influence of the performance of IANA functions, and that there might require additional mechanisms or safeguards. Next. We see this be discussed in section 3A3, where it's discussed reports from the IANA functions operator and how that information is published quickly and without any further ado. Next. Recommendation 5, that stability and efficiency of existing structure and processes must still work at least as reliable, resilient, and efficient as the current process. Next. And we see that in paragraph 148, it is recommended that the root zone management process administrator role is discussed, how that is discontinued and how the actual agreements are changed. Next, please. Recommendation 6, that the root zone management process post-transition, including inter-organization coordination for the root zone management, that needs to be discussed and described in detail, specifically in the cases where the process involves more than one root zone management partner. Next, please. And recommendation 7 has to do with the process and legal framework associated with the root zone maintainer after the transition. Next slide, please. And we see that both the text regarding related to both recommendations 6 and 7 can be found in section 3A3, where there is recommended the replacement of the approval function, and another mechanism is in use to make sure that the quality and is high and minimal risk for errors. And those were all the slides, I think. There's nothing else. Yeah. Okay. So this is where we are at the moment in our evaluation, and what we are currently doing is that we are in ASAC now evaluating whether the text that is referenced, whether that fulfills from our perspective enough sort of, are the proposals stable and robust enough to live up to the reasoning behind the recommendations that we had. So this is what we have done, and I would like to open the microphone for others to talk about what they are doing or what they think should be done, and after that we can talk about and try to find volunteers that have an interest of doing a pre-assessment of the CWU names. So I'll open up the floor, please. Kavus.
Good morning to everybody. Very glad to see distinguished ICG members face to face. Thank you very much. Congratulations to your community providing this response document to the request of the CWG from the chartering organizations. I hope that other chartering organizations have done similar things or will do similar things before 25th of June to send it to the CWG, if I'm correct, or sending elsewhere, I don't know. My question to yourself would be, apart from any other comments that colleagues may make to your draft, which unfortunately I have not studied, and I think you have done a good job. I don't want to go to details. Situations is your intentions, the next step, you will send it at what time, to which destiny, which address, to CWG or to elsewhere. That may be good for the others, because I raised the same question last night for ALAC and asked them whether they are doing the same thing. I am still waiting for some informal reply from one of my ALAC colleagues. So this is my first comment. and I have a general comment relating to the CWG activity, but I leave it for later stage because it is a general comment. It does not relate to this document, which very highly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The work that we are doing in ESSAC to make it clear of where we're going to send it, this document is an internal document for ESSAC that will lead to the production of a response that ESSAC has got from the CWG names chairs. Because we as a chartering organization have got the question whether we support the result of the work in this of the CWG names. And that we will send to the CWG names chairs so they can say in turn, we have now produced a document that have a support according to the processes we are using inside ICANN for cross-community working groups. On top of that, of course, we in ESSAC, as part of the transparency that we are running in the way we are dealing with transparency in ESSAC, we will also make that note public, of course. But the actual text itself is directed to the CWG names chairs. Thank you. Wolf Ulrich.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick, and good morning, everybody. As well, Wolf Ulrich Knoben speaking. I have at first a question to the process you outlined, and then also a comment from part of the GNSO side, how we deal with that that approach. The question is, I understand the CWG is now expecting comments from the chartering organizations. However, parts of these chartering organizations themselves have already commented during the public comment period, so as the GNSO did. So the question is, did parts of the SSAC already comment with regards to those questions in advance? That's my question.
Thank you very much for the question. The question for the chartering organizations is not to come in with input to the document because, as you say, we have already given input. We have to make an assessment whether we do believe that this document is not what was intended to be sent. So it's more or less black and white. Do you support this or not? It is not an open consultation. On the other hand, we are, just like all of us in ICG, we are finding that this has not really happened before in ICANN, that you had a cross-constituency working group where the result is really, really important. So one of the things we are doing at the moment in ESSAC is to find out exactly what the question is. Do we have to support it? Is the question whether we object to it or not? Can we say no support and still move forward? But let me be clear. It is not a public comment period. Okay. If it was the case that the SONACs, the charter organizations, had interest of giving feedback, that should have been given long, long, long before. That time is over. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Well, I just would like to follow up with my second part of the comment, because it leads directly to that what the GNSO is now doing as well as chartering organization. And I can only talk for the commercial stakeholder group on the GNSO. Maybe others can come and join me. I understand the GNSO has on its agenda of the public meeting on next Wednesday the issue of discussing how they should respond as a chartering organization. So what they need is the input from the different stakeholder groups within the GNSO. And this is on our agenda as well from the commercial stakeholder group over this weekend and throughout the ICANN meeting to exactly also try to find out, is that paper a paper which we could support, or what are the real issues and how shall we respond to that? So this is on the way. We shall have, as commercial stakeholder group, various meetings on Sunday, the first one, and on Tuesday there are other meetings as well, and we will then come to a response that our people on the GNSO Council will be in a position to take their positions on that. So this is how we are doing that from this part of the GNSO, and maybe others can then join and comment on that. Thank you.
Milton?
Yes. I'm going to basically be reacting to your report and maybe asking you to elaborate on certain things, knowing that you can't speak for the ESAC at this stage, but maybe just getting your opinion as a person or some kind of indication of what the thinking might be. So the first point, kind of a minor detail, but when you're talking about the accountability functions for PTI, you talked about the contract, the customer standing committee, and the review process. And I think you left something out, which is that the majority of the board of the PTI will be appointed by ICANN, and you will have two independent directors. And this this was a big part of the accountability debate within the development of the proposal. So I just wanted to call your attention to that, that many people said, well, we have to keep ICANN in control of PTI from a corporate standpoint because that's part of the accountability arrangements. We want to be able to hold ICANN accountable for the performance of PTI more or less directly. More, what I'd really like to hear more from you about was the change in the authorization process. And, of course, we don't know much about what will happen to the VeriSign relationship, so maybe we can leave that out of the discussion. But I'm just still a little bit fuzzy about the technical procedures and what you think of the proposal, the CWG proposal, regarding route change zone authorizations. And then the third point was there is this incompatibility with the numbers proposal regarding the intellectual property, the where it goes, and I suppose we'll be discussing that later. I don't think we have to discuss it now, but I do want to discuss that. But I'd really like to hear more from you about the authorization process.
Thank you very much. First of all, regarding the accountability issues, there is, of course, a question what feedback should be given to the CCWG accountability and what should be given as feedback to the CWG names, which are in reality accountability questions. And one of the things that we are looking at in ESSAC is, for example, whether there is a potential conflict, just to give one example, between the proposal and the CWG names to create a standing committee that discusses and approves changes to the route zone management procedure, that is to give advice or make a decision that then more or less, if I use a layman language, that I can board is rubber stamping. How is that working together with the proposal of the CCWG accountability that talks about a requirement to implement the ATRT2 recommendation that the board must act on formal advice from the advisory committees? Is there a conflict between these two if there is a conflicting formal advice from one of the ACs regarding a proposal that is coming from this standing committee that is proposed by CWG names? So there might not be. It might be the case that it's a crystal clear of who is doing what there, but it just needs to be sort of sorted out. So these are the kind of So unfortunately, I cannot really answer your question regarding accountability, but these are the kind of things that we in ESSAC are looking at, because we are, just like I hear between the lines what you are saying, it's really, really important that we make sure that the root zone maintenance, including the WHIS server, is stable, is functioning, and is of high quality, at least as today, which means that all the checks and balances that exist today, either we need to make a conscious decision that no, we don't need that anymore, or we need to replace it with something else, and maybe that something else is sort of extend already existing other mechanisms that we already have, or we need something new. but we are currently discussing it inside ASAC. Regarding your first point regarding the PTI, thank you very much for that. That's the kind of feedback that also I wanted to have. It also helps us in ASAC, of course. How we have been looking at that, and regarding the accountability, I cannot really go into that because it's either it's a risk that I say the wrong things, or but we can talk more later about that. Kavus, please.
Yes, I think in the CWG activities, there are five areas which requires to be addressed, and in fact it was primarily addressed by CCWG relating to the accountability which should be in place before transition happened. And that is ICANN budget, community empowerment mechanism, review and redress mechanism, and appeal mechanism. This has been addressed by CCWG. But now there is the big discussions on the CCWG after the receipt of comments on the first public comments, putting in questions all of these five areas on which CWG asked for some sort of accountability. And in fact, some of them is the basic principles which is still there is disagreement within the entire community of the type of the membership that would be in the transition, whether it should be voluntary membership, whether it should be designated membership, or whether it should be member model membership. And these are not quite clear. And for some community, it might be very difficult to be a member with some commitments. And there has been some 300 or 350 pages of legal assessment by the two legal advisors, but still situation in CWG, in Working Party 1 and Working Party 2 under the discussions to be resolved. The issue of the empowerment of the community also in relations with the independent review panel is also under discussions and disagreement by some colleagues whether it should be binding or whether it should be non-binding, whether it should be allowed to also associated with the court action or not with the court action. And so there are a lot of questions yet to be addressed by the CCWG in order that the linkage between CWG, naming stewardship, and the accountability be addressed. I don't know whether you have addressed in your assessment to this or not. The second question is Section 3A, Roman 3, and onward. There are a lot of questions raised by CWG relating to proposed changes to root zone environment and relation with the root zone maintainer, changes to the root zone management architecture, and so on and so forth. I don't know, as I told, I have not studied your document, whether you have addressed, because there are a lot of questions raised by CWG, and some of the question is in hand of NTIA, what we will do between after the transition or before transition with respect to the contract, separate contract that they have with the maintainer or not. So these questions were raised, and I don't know whether you have answered or not, but that is something to be discussed. There are some other questions in the document. But my last question is that the reply to the chartering organization, including yours, would be full support without comment, support with comments, no support, and disagreement, and so on and so forth. All of them is not clear. If an organization's chartering would not support it at all, what will happen? What is the next step? If it supports with some comments, those comments will be implemented or replied or not. And if there is objections by one or more than one supporting chartering organization, the four chartering organizations, is two of them totally object to that. What are the next steps? Sorry to raising these questions. This is a general question. It may not totally for the submission that you have made, but it is general for ICG to also discuss, maybe at the next agenda item when we're dealing with the thorough analysis of the CWG. So the situation is not quite clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those questions. As I said earlier, the process issue is something that even though we have had cross-community working groups inside ICANN, we have not had any need so far to discuss exactly the process around the issues that you just brought up in your last question regarding what kind of response is coming back. I think those kind of questions are issues that specifically we in ICG need to think about. Because when we get the response from the operation communities, what do we do with a response from one of the operation communities which have support but with comments? Is that something that we should bring into our evaluation of the three proposals together and then maybe ask the operation communities to try to resolve those comments? Is that part of our evaluation? I think that is something that is something that maybe we in ICG have to talk about on how we are going to do our evaluation when we also might get public comments. As I said on the response to your question, Wolf Ulrich, I think it's really important, and I didn't make that really clear before I opened up this session, is that. The proposal that is discussed within CWG names have gone through their process of multi-stakeholder, like bringing a proposal together. So we have already passed the period when comments or rewriting their proposal is done. That is not where we are in the process. We are really looking into the questions that we heard Kavus talk about, like do the charging organizations support with comments or disapprove it. That's where we are, and which means that the evaluation is actually to some degree very, very black and white. But I think unfortunately for us in ICG, it might be the case that the questions you raised is something that will be something that we have to deal with in a similar way as if we have difficult, if I use the word sort of in a difficult for us in ICG, comments during the public comment period. That is something that we need to understand how we are going to work in a constructive way to bring those comments into our process. Alyssa?
Thanks, Patrick. Kavus reminded me of a couple things that I thought were worth mentioning. The first is that the consideration of the CWG proposal, the way that it is set forth, it's explicitly conditioned on the output of the CCWG Workstream 1. And so my understanding is that that is the consideration that the SOs and the ACs are giving it right now, is that the assumption is that all of the pieces that are required in the CWG names proposal from the CCWG work will be implemented. And that's how it should be considered. And that's how we should consider it as well when we receive it. And if those items do not end up getting implemented, then, of course, the CWG names proposal would have to be modified, or, you know, we would need some other recourse. But I think everyone is operating under the assumption that the pieces that are needed from the CCWG for the names proposal will arrive. And so that's our current orientation, right? And if that changes in the future, then we'll have to deal with that. Just the other comment to follow on to what Patrick said is that, just as we did for the other two proposals, if we as the ICG have questions or we believe that something needs to be clarified or changed in the CWG names proposal, we have a little bit of time built into our process to go back to the CWG and have that conversation with them. And so it's possible that some of the comments that come out of the SOs and ACs, if they do have any comments, can be dealt with in that same time frame, again, with this whole parallelization of the timelines. So I think we can sort of roughly hope to operate in that manner. and also roughly hope that we don't end up in the situation that Caboose indicated, where we have, you know, one SO or AC who just objects to the entire thing. I'd rather not spend time planning for that, because if that happens, we will have to deal with it somehow, but hopefully we won't have that happen. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Yari?
Yes, good morning. I wanted to go into a substantial issue or coordination issue in the proposal that was already mentioned by Milton earlier. It's the IPR thing. So just for everybody's understanding, the CWG proposal has a section that says the trademark for the IANA trademark, a license will, an exclusive license will be given to the PTI organization. And that is actually problematic, as has been discussed in the CWG mailing list after the proposal was done. And the reason why this is problematic is that all the three communities actually have a need to use these trademarks. So for IETF, as an example, the first time the term IANA appears in our RFCs is from 1990. And since then, it has appeared in 3,350 different RFCs. So we kind of would like to be able to use the trademark also in the future. And so this is a situation where this you know, all the three organizations have sort of an equal interest in this, and you know, no one stands above the others. The current text is problematic. I think it could be fixed by mere removal of the word exclusive, and you know, the text is under a heading that says something about initial draft or starting point. So it's not that we have to change the proposal as such, but the further steps need to take this into account. But I would like to point out that this isn't a place where we might actually do a little bit more coordination and get an even nicer result. We've had some discussion previously with the two other communities where we found a reasonable solution going forward, and we need to do that with the three communities, I think, going forward. The other thing is that the CWG proposal talks about the trademark. It doesn't talk about the domain name. I think the other two communities are also interested in the domain name, so for completeness, that should also be included. And the third thing is that there's a dependency to contracting between the different parties. So in the IETF response regarding timelines, we said, you know, if we can continue to contract with ICANN, then everything's fine. We can do this basically today. If we have to move the or you know, do something more complicated with something inside ICANN or part of ICANN, the PTI, then that will take more effort and might delay things. So some of the proposals around dealing with the trademark involve other communities having to contract with PTI, which I think would be something that we desire to avoid. So I'm just highlighting this issue here. I don't have a particular proposal on the table, but it is something that we together have to solve, whether it's in the ICG properly or we as in the different communities working together. But this needs to be solved, otherwise, or at least the current text is going to cause a problem. Thank you.
I don't really know which one of you flagged first. Alan, please.
Thank you, Alan Barrett. I'd like to echo what Yari said about the IPR part of the names proposal being problematic. I think it's inconsistent with what the other communities have said. I think perhaps the ICG could ask the names community to consider revising their proposal to make it consistent. And I think that a few simple little changes could help. So, for example, removing the need for the license to be exclusive, and also perhaps allowing the license to be from some party other than ICANN, which might hold the IPR. So, you know, for example, if the IPR is transferred to the IETF trust, then it would be the IETF trust rather than ICANN licensing things to the PTI. So I would hope that the names community would be able to consider making such changes to their proposal. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think we should remind ourselves that we in ICG, when discussing the IPR issues for the other proposals, we didn't go into design phase from ICG. Instead, we are requesting the operation communities to please talk to each other and resolve the issues. That's the important thing for ICG, not really what the outcome is. That said, I think, of course, all of us as individuals participate, of course, in the other process as well, and we need to give examples to explain why we think there is an overlap and also that we do believe as individuals that there is a good path out of it. So I do hear that a potential outcome of a pre-assessment from ICG is that the IPR issues need to be resolved, so there might be a question going back. Milton.
Yeah, the thing to remember about the names community proposal is that this incompatibility regarding the domain and the trademark is not really part of the CWG proposal. It's actually kind of a bracketed detail that was, the incompatibility was discovered just as the proposal was being sent out to the SOs and ACs or a few days before. And there was no consensus within the names community on this aspect of the proposal, so you can't really say that it's part of that proposal. You can say that it is the default text that's sitting there, but there is not consensus on that, I would say. So I think it's what needs to happen is for the numbers community to say, we don't like what's proposed, and for the protocols community to say the same, if that's the way they feel, and then we can say to the names community, this is incompatible, as stated. We know that you don't seem to have consensus on that in your proposal. The other communities don't like it. Please propose something else that fix it.
Alyssa?
I'm just I'm wondering if we need to wait for any reason to get that going, if people feel like that's something we could get going now. In terms of, I mean, I think we have a good sense that the other two communities are unhappy with that whatever it is, the bracketed language. If we need to get a consensus opinion that they're unhappy, I'm not sure that we really need a consensus opinion that they're unhappy, because if we have ICG representation who says these things that we've just heard, we could probably get the question together to the communities before we even receive the proposal, I would say. But I'd be interested in people's thoughts about that.
And as an additional question to what Alyssa just said, also a question to you ICG members, would you be comfortable issuing these kind of questions to CWD names in an incremental fashion, like one at a time, and then maybe another question in 2 weeks, or would you like to, for us in ICG, to collect all the comments we have and then go back? That's another question to you. I see Kavus and then Mohammed, and then I would like to ask you ICG members who are interested in working specifically with the pre-assessment, because we need, just like with the other groups, a couple of named people, individuals, that will work on issues like the one that we just started to work on in the large group. So please think about whether you have the time and interest in doing that. Kavus, please.
Yes, thank you, Patrick. I think the main question that I have, in fact, not question, a comment, that we should use this opportunity of face-to-face and prepare ourselves for any question or clarification which requires from the CWG, even if we have not formally received the proposal. This is a good opportunity face-to-face, and we have to effectively and efficiently use that. We have the draft proposals. And we have the proposal sent to the chartering organizations. There is no problem to take that. And if between now and the tomorrow afternoon we have some general questions or clarification, at least we should table that. When and how to send it, this is something that we discussed. That is one question. Second, the issue of trademark or DNS. I think that is an issue to be addressed in ICG. I don't think that CWG addressed that issue, and I don't think that any chartering organization will specifically address that, having any effective output. That is an issue of the CWG, of the ICG, to address that. It was raised several times, I think, at previous meeting, and we have to come with some sort of finding or say about that. The proposal of CWG, there are many areas. They says that it is not clear to them what is the situation. I read you one which is important, paragraph 105. It is mentioned that all IANA function will be transferred to PTI. However, it is not clear at the time of writing of this report whether the other operational communities, numbers and protocol parameters, will undertake to contract directly with PTI, or they have separate contract with ICANN. Similar questions like this are included in the CWG. Therefore, perhaps we should look at these proposals carefully by having some volunteers to look at those, including those who have followed very closely the activity of CWG, to identify some of these questions that we need to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mohammed.
Thank you very much, Patrick. I think some of our colleague in the chat room has already said what I was planning to say. I think at the end of our next meeting, maybe we have a list of issues that we need to maybe raise to CWG as soon as possible, so at least they have time to digest it and review it, and maybe also plan how to update the proposal, how to work with other communities to resolve issues.
Keith? I'm sorry, there are two Keith here, so to my left, please.
Thank you, Patrick. Keith Drazik for the transcript. Just wanted to note that I fully support the co-chairs of the ICG raising this issue, flagging this issue with the operational communities, advising the co-chairs of the CWG naming transition that this is a concern that's been identified and a potential conflict among the three proposals that's been identified, and to help facilitate the engagement or the discussions among the operational communities. I think that's the role of the ICG. Thank you.
And then it's also the case, of course, that we don't only have two Keith. We have two Keith D. So let's take Keith from the Southern Hemisphere.
Keith Senior will do. Only by age. Oddly enough, I'm in complete agreement with Keith Drazik, and just suggesting that particularly where there may be issues that require external legal advice and so on, it would be useful to have those issues flagged sooner rather than later, so that the CWG can make progress on those issues, you know, immediately. Time is not on our side on this thing. So I think the idea of the co-chairs raising the issues as they arise is very sound and sensible.
Thank you very much. Alyssa?
So maybe what we can do is, since we have a bunch of open time in the agenda tomorrow that we reserved to pick up from things that we didn't finish today, we can try to draft a question that would go out to all of the communities, tonight, and have a little discussion of that tomorrow to see if we can come to consensus around what the question is to the communities about the trademark and the IPR. Does that seem reasonable? Use our face-to-face time.
So, let's. I don't see anyone objecting. And Kavus, I think you, with just like Alyssa, I do think you came with a good proposal. Of course, the negative thing is that I do know that we have people that will not be with us tomorrow. But using the time for discussing these issues tomorrow in one of the slots we have, it would be a good thing. So we use as much time as we can together. So let me ask now the question on whether I can get some volunteers that can help with the pre-assessment of the CWG names proposal. So I see Russ, Alan, Martin.
What's the time frame for that?
Ah.
Can you project that?
Yeah, you will see the timeline shortly. The when we were discussing and looking at the timeline, that was very small. So the schedule that there is a reason why we chairs proposed the telephone conferences like we did, where we have both on July 8 and July 15, and we think it's really important to get as much feedback as possible from the pre-assessment on July 7, so we can discuss it on July 8. So the time frame we talk about is between now and July 7. With incremental delivery, so we can have a substantial discussion to start with on July 8. That's the time frame. Keith Davison. Oh, another volunteer. Yeah, thank you. Russ Houselip. Russ Mundy. So both Russ. That makes it easy. So we have both Keys as well. No, sorry.
Volunteers that I saw or that Patrick read was Russ Housley, Alan Martin, Keith Davidson, and Russ Mundy. And Mary, okay.
Yeah, that's a good number, and that's approximately the number of people we had for the other proposals as well. So thank you very much for that. Cavus, please.
Patrick, could you clarify what was your comment saying that I didn't come up with the good proposals? Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. No, my intention was to say that I supported you in your statement. Yeah. Cavus, please.
Thank you for that. Another question. Do we have any question to raise with the legal Council at this meeting? If that is the case, perhaps it would be a good opportunity either to ask them to come to our meeting, or because they are here, or they raise them. Just a question, because in CCWG we raised a lot of questions, and through the chair or directly they were answered subject to a memorandum of assessment or reply. This is a suggestion only, because one of our colleagues referred to the legal advice from them. Do we have any legal issue to raise at this stage with the legal advisor? Thank you.
First of all, I, as the co-chair of ICD, I have not heard any such request. And secondly, just because the CWG names do have this week until next Thursday, they go through the process of interacting with the chartering organizations. I think we in ICG should be a little bit careful of engaging in that process. So I think we should try to stay away as much as possible. And I also think that as part of our charter on ICG is that we should ensure that the process is done in a multi-stakeholder bottom-up process. And if we are doing anything that can be viewed as micromanagement of any of the processes that submit information to us, I think that might be very close to evaluation of that requirement. So I think we should be very careful of engaging ourselves in the processes that are currently ongoing, specifically when each one of the OCs do have are sort of in their end game. So I think to answer your question, of course, if it is the case that we see real need to engage, we should take the opportunity, just like you suggested, Cavus. Absolutely. But I do not see the need. I haven't heard it. And two, the requirement to engage should be really high. I think the barrier of entry for that discussion should be high. So with that, 10:03, I'm sorry, 3 minutes over. I try to manage the time here. Alyssa, over to you.
Okay, well done. Good job. okay, so we wanted to then talk a little bit about the combined proposal assessment. So we have 6 volunteers for the individual proposal assessment for names, which is excellent. And Yanis, I think we're going to take a look at the process that these people actually have just volunteered to follow. Nope, not that one. Sorry, I know I just sent this to you like 10 seconds ago. The one in the Skype chat, yeah. Great, yes, thank you, thanks. So everyone remembers this, but just to put a fine point on it. So the folks who are going to do the names pre-assessment are doing this individual proposal assessment. If we scroll down a little bit, we can remember what the questions are that are relevant for the individual assessment. First of all, an evaluation of the process that happened, make sure that, process concerns that were highlighted were addressed by the community, determined that the community actually obtained consensus and so forth. And then if we go further down, there were just 3 items that people should be looking for: completeness, clarity, and NTIA criteria. So the group of 6 people who just volunteered to pre-assess the names proposal, in addition to thinking about the substantive issues, should be looking to answer that set of questions about the individual proposal. Perhaps in parallel with that assessment, we need to get going on the combined proposal assessment, where we look at all 3 of the pieces together and make a determination about whether we think this is ready to go or whether we have any questions that need to go back to any of the communities. And so if we go down a little bit further, looking at our 3 items that we had for... Perfect, thank you. For the combined proposal assessment, we have questions about compatibility and interoperability. We have questions about accountability, and we have questions about workability. And so this is what we said, that we would, when we had all 3 components of the proposal together, that we would assess against this set of questions. And so we've asked for these names, the volunteers to do the names assessment, to have their feedback ready on July 7. I think what we're asking for now is volunteers to do this combined proposal assessment. Would be excellent if we had some of that done by July 7, but really no later than our July 15 call, I think, is what we're looking at. So do we have volunteers who are able and willing to do the assessment of the combined proposal, assuming we receive the names proposal on, end of this month, essentially? Lynn St. Amour, thank you. I'm asking for volunteers for the combined proposal assessment. Milton. Manal, thank you. Other willing victims. Keith Drazik, thank you. Do you have anyone in Adobe Connect? No. Okay, great. Oh, Russ Housley. Oh, you're going to be a busy person. Joe, as well. Okay. Great. So we have, just to recap, Lynn, Milton, Manal, Keith Drazik, Russ Housley, and Joe, and Paul Wilson. Okay.
Alyssa, I'm tempted to help. I just need to check a few things with my currently overloaded schedule.
Great. Thank you. And Xiaodong, did you want to speak or you want to volunteer? You volunteer. Okay. Excellent. Yes, I got Paul Wilson. Okay, so going back to the full list. Lynn, Milton, Manal, Keith, Drazik, Russ Housley, Joe, Paul, Narelle, and Xiaodong. Excellent. Thank you all for volunteering your time between now and July 15 or so to do that. It's a long document, but it will be worthwhile for sure. Great. I think that's actually all we had for that section. It was just like a logistical discussion. So... Yep, that was all we had. So we could take our break, or we could spend our hour on multi-step implementation and then take the break. Yep.
Sorry, I was not volunteered to that group because I have many other things to do, but is that group open that if we have some occasional participations to... assist and to contribute, we would be able to do that. Thank you.
Yes, of course, absolutely. We just wanted to make sure we had some names down so we have people to chase who are on the hook, but anyone else who wants to do the combined proposal assessment is welcome to do so. I guess the other question is, in the first round of this, in some cases people did these assessments on their own, and in other cases they worked as a group. I would leave that up to the people who just volunteered to decide whether they'd like to work as a group or individually, unless anyone has strong opinions about it right now. I see no strong opinions. Okay, so if you like working by yourself, you can do individual work, and if you like working in a team, you can work in a team. Okay. So we can either take a break or we can spend an hour talking about multi-stage implementation.
Take a break from what? We haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, I would say we trudge on. And so we will move on to multi-step implementation, which Patrick is going to lead.
Thank you very much. So this might be the first quite interesting discussion we will have today, and then we might need a break. So can we get the slides better? Yeah, thank you. So to start this discussion, we all have seen the discussion that have been going on our mailing list. We have the statement from Paul at our previous teleconference and also the mail that he sent yesterday. I would like to frame the discussion a little bit, and I'll do it. I decided to do it this way. First of all, I see that, recognize that for the ICG, we are still waiting for responses from all three operation communities. That we have started to do a pre-assessment is not to be mixed with us receiving having received the responses from all three communities. So that's the first thing that is really important to remember. When we have all three, we must do, and these are sort of in layman terms, I wrote this down just this morning, and my apologies if I use the wrong words, but we have to do an assessment evaluation that we just discussed.
it might be the case that we have to send questions to the OCs and get responses to that. We have to create some kind of proposal and some kind of combined document. We have decided we are going to run through a public comment period on that to see what the public think, and we are discussing that later today and tomorrow how to do that. Then we are handing this over to NTA, and NTA must do whatever they have to do before the actual transition has to happen. And part of that, of course, have to do with, as we all know, implementation. And we also ask the operational communities how much time and effort is needed for the implementation. So these are the various steps that we in ICG just must go through. And we should just remember that. And remember that there are... And each one of these steps takes time. Next slide, please. So one of the issues I see personally, not speaking as the chair or consensus of the group, but me personally, is that I feel when I read what people say, and also when I read what people write and when I hear what people say, I see maybe some confusion about what is needed by implementation. And this might be a little bit confusing also, because there are various things that can happen in parallel. But specifically, I feel that we seem to mix up a few things. For example, the ICG activities that leads to the submission to NTA, the post-delivery activities before the transition itself, and, of course, what each one of the operation communities can do or should do before, during, and after the transition. We see in the CW names proposal, for example, just to take an example, that they do describe what should be done during and after the transition, and what this situation looks like both during and after the transition, because the transition itself is not something that happens just in an instant. So I really hope that we can have a constructive discussion, and as a lot of people have, or a lot of ICG members have pointed out, we have been talking about this before in various ways, and we really would like to settle the discussion so that we agree on how we are going to operate in ICG, because as you just saw on the timeline that Alyssa pointed out, we have a very aggressive timeline. We have a lot of things to do in ICG, both in specifically July and in September, and that means that we need to spend as much time as possible on substantive matters and not our own internal processes. So with this as a background, I would like to start with give the floor to Paul Wilson, so that he can, with this as a context, explain his position, and then I open the floor for others. Paul, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please, Paul.
Okay. Actually, I'm getting a very long echo of my voice coming back. Distracting. If I can do anything about that, I'll just turn my voice down.
Paul, I'll just speak to this.
Look, I made the first suggestion of this approach a couple of meetings ago in the chat, and I think it wasn't well. You know, it wasn't explained, it wasn't well noticed, I think. I got a few responses, made second mention of it at the last meeting verbally, and I think there was then some confusion over what I was talking about. So the point of the email that I sent just a few hours ago was to put in a more organized way with what the idea is. So I suppose what I can do is to go through the points that I raised in that email, those 10 points. Would it be useful for me to do that? I guess so, in case folks have not read it. But I'll just turn my speaker on so I can hear. If that's okay with you, Patrick, that's the way I'll go. Just let me know.
Paul, to answer your question, I think all ICG members have read your bullets. So I think you can move to the next phase in your explanation and talk about, specifically if you see at the last bullets that you talk about the phased implementation, that you can explain or stage transition what you actually mean by that in the context of the work of the ICG. Because if I look at the timeline and the various things that ICG needs to do, I would like you to explain a little bit what you mean by having various things done before September 30.
Okay. I'm not entirely sure. It's unclear, but I had to turn my speaker off because I'm getting unbearable echo back. The point, I think, is that, put simply, we've got 2 out of 3 proposals, which I believe have said clearly in their responses, have said clearly already, but also in particular to the NTIA inquiry, Larry Strickland's inquiry about our implementation timeline. Both those communities have said clearly that they believe that while there may be a few things to do between now and September, we will be actually ready as expected to actually implement the plan and have the plan implemented from 30th of September as if the IANA contract is not going to be renewed. So my suggestion is that the 30th of September is still significant to us because the IANA contract will be apparently particularly renewed at that time. It could, and this is hypothetical, an assumption on my part, it seems that it could be renewed in such a way that it only continue to apply as it needs to the remaining set of IANA functions, namely the names. So what happens between now and the 30th of September, I think, is the carrying out of that implementation preparation such that on the 30th of September, those two proposals can be considered to be implemented. And then, the renewal of the ICANN, sorry, the IANA agreement, then they would really only remain to apply to the third step instead of IANA functions. Is that clear enough? I'll stop there.
Alyssa?
Well, so we're having a lot of difficulty with Paul's audio, which is not clear whether it's on our side or on his side. If it's on his side, then we will have to proceed, I think, because even if we wait until some other time, it's not going to get fixed. If it's on our side, we could try to fix it right now and continue, or we could take the break, right? Okay, I see that apparently it's the bridge is the problem. I was just curious if we could hear any of the other remote people better, but people think it's...
I don't think you can hear me either. This is Daniel. I have the same echo problem. And when I tried to listen before, just in the Adobe Connect, just to get the echo, he's basically blocked 50% of the time because of the echo suppression. So the problem is definitely not on our side.
Yeah, I could barely hear what Daniel just said. So maybe we should take the break and try to fix the audio. Is that workable?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Break until 11. Enjoy. Yes.
Hello?